Uluku Iskwaichel, everybody.
Gwei, hello. Welcome back.
Thank you for being patient with us. Well, we haven't put out an episode in the last little while. Teacher and I have been very busy.
Yes, we've had a lot of changes going on within, I don't know, the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Let alone the last couple, like, months. So we've been going through a lot of stuff. So we were trying to get our lives steadied out before we tried to put out another podcast episode. Also, you know, life happens. You forget about things.
Wow. I was gonna say, like, Kate graduated university and then got into grad school.
I mean, yes. Kate graduated.
Taking up a little bit of time of my life.
Yep. Well, this girl's got a bachelor's now.
She does.
And guess who's a teacher now? It's no longer Teacher Mads. There's also a Teacher Kate.
Yeah, that's wild. But you're still, like, Teacher Mads.
Okay, yeah, even though I'm not really a teacher anymore.
I'll be Professor Kate.
Yeah, okay, so sorry. Professor Kate and Teacher Mads. I've also had to do a lot more work recently. I got a promotion. Now I'm running two centers. Well, co-running two centers. So Teacher Mads isn't really in the classroom anymore. She's filling the classrooms. That's kind of my job now.
Well, I guess it's more like Director Mads and Professor Kate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I direct the show.
You do. You do.
Yeah. So what's been up? What's been going on?
We had an election.
What?
That could have been an email.
It really could have been an email.
Holy doodle noodle. We spent like $600 million.
Something like that, yeah.
On that, which was lackluster.
Oh my god. The entire time I sat there watching it, I was like, didn't this just happen? Didn't this is exactly what happened. Why are we doing this again?
Honestly, like, you weren't even that good at campaigning. Like, all of you were bad at campaigning. I'm sorry. But also, thank you for, like, the smear, like, attack ads, because are friggin' funny.
They were beautiful.
Like, he can't do it. You're like, okay.
It was the most Canadian-esque smear ads I've ever seen.
Right? And it's like, are they working for you? And you're like, I don't think any of you work for me.
Who are you referencing right now? Because I don't know how to tell you this, but they have not been working for me for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been off the payroll. They've been fired, actually.
Right? Oh, man. And also, we've been learning some fun things about, like, media also as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't know we had such conservative media.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And just, like, the folks who got asked questions from that, like, media source and how folks would just, like, dodge, but then how some people would answer. And I was like, this is different.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what were your thoughts and feelings? We watched the debate.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. What did you take out of the debate before we voted? We were supposed to make an episode after watching the debate. And then all of a sudden it was the 20th.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, we got to go vote. So there goes the episode. So this is like a post-election debrief episode. From the debate, I was just kind of like, all right, no one really gave me solid policy stuff. Like, everybody's stuck really heavily to, like, their speaking points. I was like, I get it. I hear you. I can read your website. Can you actually tell me, like, how you're going to, like, make a difference? Or actually tell me how much you care,
mm-hmm,
too. You know what I mean? But also, like, I think debates are really funny. Like, I like watching debates in the political sphere as, like, a spectator sport.
Honestly, yeah, the side commentary we had going, we should have just recorded that while we were watching the debate. It would have been a beautiful episode in itself. Actually, I don't think that would have gone well. But, anyways.
What about you? What do you feel? What did you think?
It was interesting, for sure. I haven't watched very many of the Canadian debates. Mm. I mean, watching the American debates during the election, just the most entertaining thing I've ever seen. But the Canadian ones I find are usually pretty boring for the most part. It was just interesting watching the jabs, like the consistency of, like, just going after Trudeau about everything and being like, hey, but you're not answering the question.
Mm-hmm.
You're just passing the buck over here, and I kind of want to know what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
I did enjoy some of the responses, especially around Indigenous people's concerns, but at the same time, they were still very on, like, following what their platform was supposed to be, basically, even though you're like, okay, cool, speaking points, nice, but, like, where's the content?
Just, like, and what I did really loved about the debates was how the moderator, like, chased them down.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, get him. But also that sweet baby.
Oh, my God.
Who asked the question about Indigenous people. And I was like, you're a good egg.
Right. He's like, precious. Look at the youth.
Right.
Just getting out there.
I was like, that brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, yeah. I think we cried a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
All three of us.
Yeah.
We're like, I didn't think I was going to cry at the debate, but all right, here we are. Yeah, so it was definitely interesting. It still didn't help me fully decide who I was going to vote for, in the sense of being like, they all sounded fairly similar in what their responses were. I did really enjoy Anami, her like responses about being like, okay, this is everyone's problem. It's not just one party's problem.
Yes.
We all have to work together in order to solve the situation. I was like, yeah, climate. It's not just gonna be one party that's gonna magically solve everything. Everyone kind of has to work together in order for it to come to fruition. So I really enjoyed that approach, but at the same time, I was just like, but there was so much bickering within that party. And there still wasn't any, like, solid, like, platform ideas and, like, how they were actually going to make change. I mean, you can say what you want to do, but unless you show how you're going to do it, like, we know that it's not going to happen for the most part. But, yeah, that was probably one of the highlights, was just getting to hear the fact that, like, it just kept coming back to the same point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing that we always talk about in some sense, outside of, obviously, having a microphone in front of our faces.
Yeah.
Is that, like, dude, if we don't work together, we're not going to be able to accomplish anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, and did you know that we were part of the 13% that were on the fence?
Did not. Well, I did know that, but at the same time, I did not know that before.
Yeah, yeah. There was 13% of folks who were on the fence about who they were going to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly felt like I was on the fence until the minute that I had to vote.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel like we just voted for our riding kind of thing.
Yeah.
We didn't necessarily be like, at this point, by the time our votes are starting to get tallied, they've already decided who's won the election. So we're like, it's cool, it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in class during the election, and a classmate had the election going while we're in class. And so, like, we're like half listening to our professor talk. Mm-hmm. And then the other half of us all just staring at Lauren's screen. I'm like, yeah, that's great, Eddie. Thank you. I will write with purpose. I will do my best.
But also, like, what's happening?
But also, who's the government?
Right. Ugh. And, I mean, we're still counting votes.
Yes, we are.
I thought it was hilarious. I made the joke being like, can you imagine if we're, like, the states and it takes a few days in order for us to figure it out? And guess what? It's not a joke, people. This is real.
It's happening. It is happening.
Too many. There's three ridings, supposedly, that are, like, really close, too close to call, so they're recounting, or they're still counting. But either way, I was like, oh, fire.
Yeah, and there's a lot of folks who mailed in ballots, too, which is really cool.
That's awesome. The weather was miserable for advance poll, so we were like, we'll wait till day of. And then what did we do, Caitlin?
I don't know, Madeline, did you read the voter card?
Okay, you know what? All right, so I may or may not have misread the voter card, and we went to one school, but that was only for advance poll. So then we had to go back to our house and drive to the next one, or else we wouldn't have been able to make it in time before I had to go to work. So that was beautiful, but we made it.
Yeah, we did it.
And then it took you 15 years to vote.
Yeah, because I don't understand how to do an address change, apparently. I made it 26 years, and I've lived on my own for a long time. But
first one.
First time I've actually changed my address from my parents' house.
First time for everything.
Yeah, now I know. My bad. Now I'm registered.
You're registered for where we live now. It's beautiful.
Yeah, now I can't move.
No.
Or my address will still be this house. For like another 10 years.
Like, Steve, Cheryl, I need my voter card this year.
Hey. So I'm like, change my address.
Don't you live in another province? Yep, nope, but I'm coming to vote here.
Yeah, I'm coming home.
I'm coming home to vote. Yeah, so I before we had decided that, well, didn't decide, but before it ended up that we didn't get our podcast episode done before the actual election, we had looked up some statistics, just because we wanted to educate people around the importance of voting. So here's our guilt trip, if you didn't vote, of how important it is to vote in the sense that it took us a very long time as Indigenous people to get the vote and have the right to be a part of this democracy, basically. So one of the things was, like, when were Indigenous people allowed to run was one of the questions, which I never did find the accurate answer for. They gave really wraparound, and I was like, hey, we'll never know.
Yeah.
But then it was, like, when did we get voting rights? So I found an interesting tidbit that I actually never, I didn't know about prior to this, was that in 1948, a parliamentary committee recommended that all status Indians be given the vote, but it wasn't put into place until Diefenbaker's legislation in March of 1960, and it came into effect in July of 1960. But, like, back in 1948, people were like, maybe we should have the Indigenous people vote.
It's almost 20 years.
Right? And then, it took almost 20 years in order to be able to actually get the vote.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It is really crazy. And, like, obviously, like, if you're an Indigenous person and you don't want to vote, you don't want to participate in the colonial politics, like, that's completely valid. Like, sure. 100%. It can be exhausting, and sometimes, obviously, we don't get the results that we want. Mm-mm. Like now.
Or accurate representation. That was a fun fight I had that one time. We'll come back to that.
Yes, we'll come back to that. However, like, your feelings are valid and your thoughts are valid. It's just Madeline and I, like, really into, like, voting and, like, being part of, like, these systems in order to change them. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's the way we feel of, like, this is how we can really make an impact on policy or just feel heard and seen is by continuing to, like, get out there and get others to vote. And I come from a voting family. Like, my parents always talked about how important voting was. And I got to go when I was 18, like, with my mom. And I was like, I'm gonna go do this. And then, like, I ran into a teacher from middle school. I was like, oh, my God, you're old enough to do this? And I was like, yes, your future is in my hands now. yeah, I think the reason why we vote is just because we try to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the funny thing is I come from complete opposite. I didn't grow up around people who voted. I grew up, well, my dad has dual citizenship with the U.S., so what he's always told me is he's unable to vote because he could lose his citizenship in the States, and vice versa if he votes in the U.S. election. So he never voted the entire time I've been alive. And my mom never really voted because she grew up with the idea that, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't won't make a difference if she votes or not, which we know, obviously, from statistics and stuff that it can make a difference. Mm-hmm. Like, look at some of the election results here. There was, like, a one vote difference for who won. I was like, it can make a difference.
Yeah.
But thankfully I had lots of other people in my lives that did encourage and did explain the importance and the value of being able to have a vote.
Yeah.
And just, I do it for myself and I do it for my ancestors and, like, especially my female ancestors, just because we've had a lot of things taken from us, and doing things like having a vote has allowed us to be able to have the rights to proper health care for women and having representation and value.
Yeah.
So that's why I vote. That's why I vote.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know, for me, I don't know why I find it fun.
You know what?
I'm not well. If I think voting is fun for me.
One day we'll vote for you, Caitlin.
Oh my goodness, don't even. We're not going to have that conversation.
not here.
That's a lot of paperwork in order to, like, be able to run to vote, how much, like, vetting you have to do that kind of stuff. So actually, like, another conversation we can have is the barriers that are in place for people to become candidates. It's ridiculous.
There's that, and also why the snap election was a barrier as well.
Yes.
What one do you want to get into first?
Surprise me?
All right. Why is it difficult to become a candidate? I don't know any information, so we're just going to sit and listen to you now.
Because I looked into this, and I was like 21. I looked at how to run in the federal election, like how to be an MP.
Yeah.
And it was really intimidating. You have to basically, like, prove yourself, right? Obviously. But even before, like, the party even looks at you to be a part of the party. Mm-hmm. So you have to do all the paperwork to be a part of the party.
Yeah.
Get voted in by the party.
Oh, God.
Yes. And then run for your riding and then get voted. And then, like, run again to actually get, like, elected. So it's a very long process. Like, you literally have to, like, dedicate 2 years of your life before you can even possibly, like, serve in parliament, which is coconuts.
So much people-pleasing.
I rather do it the way my grandpa did and was just appointed into the Senate. And I was like, you know what? You're on to something.
Right?
Yes. So it's a lot of work, and you have to, like, have a lot of folks to support you and, like, love you through that. And, like, I know that I do, and it can happen, and I could do it. But I'm not sure, like, that's always gonna be, like, the avenue for me, or definitely other people. Other people definitely belong in government who are not me, but don't have the resources or, you know, the full understandings of, like, how you even make it to there.
Yeah.
And so it's a very colonial way of trying to govern, right? And it doesn't, like, look at you, like, holistically. It just looks at, like, what's your likelihood of being able to be elected, rather than, like, the difference you want to make. And I know, like, folks get into this work, it's because they want to make a difference, and that's what drives them to that work, which is, like, fantastic, and I have so much love and empathy for those folks. But it's tough, and, like, of course, parties really want more Indigenous candidates, obviously, because, like, reconciliation, and also we should be able to govern. However, they're not changing how you're able to be qualified.
That's always fun.
Yeah. gets me heated. Really grates my cheese. Really, really grates my cheese. And, like, even with the snap election, not everybody was able to vote because of the COVID-19.
Yep, there was the COVID. There was pretty extensive lines just because there was less places to vote. So ended up having longer lines, especially at the end of the day. People are supposed to be allotted time off work, but people can't always get time off work, especially if they have their own businesses or whatnot.
Fires, climate.
Right. And, like, the big one was that, like, people can't necessarily, if they're in a lineup, they can't afford childcare necessarily to be able to stay in that lineup the entire time to make it all the way into voting. Accessibility, people can't necessarily, especially elderly, can't stay in lines. So it was just ridiculous because, like, there was less advanced polling as far as I know, because in previous years I think there was at least a week's worth of advanced polling, but there was literally 3 days this time around, and the weather was awful for all 3 days. So I don't know about you, but I'm not gonna stand in line for a while in the rain and the freezing cold in order to cast my vote. So there was, like, those factors as well. So it was not ideal to be able to, like, to put that kind of pressure on people or to take away their right to be able to do something based on their barriers.
Yeah.
There should be no barriers.
No, there should be any barriers.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was like, and then we just ended up with the same results.
Yeah, exactly. Just... Right? That's exactly what I was going to say, too. Then, like, nothing changed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I do think, like, I personally, like, I'm, like, an eternal optimist. Like, I have to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that some things maybe do change, or, like, parties really do realize that, like, no, get back to work.
Yeah.
Like, we put you there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a job to do, and I want them to do it successfully.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you can hope for. Is that they're going to do their job.
Right? I'm like, I'm not asking.
Basic expectation.
Yeah. I was like, if I have to do my job, you got to do your job.
Right. If I got to wipe butts, you got to do your job.
Yeah.
Yeah, sign those bills. Like,
yeah, pass that legislation.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Later in my life, I keep saying that it'll go in that direction. But, like, much, much later.
But what about the bookstore?
Well, yeah, of course. We'll have a bookstore and a
coffee shop.
Coffee shop. Of course. But I'm talking, like, in my 50s. Because I've only had one gray hair, and I would like to keep it that way. And I've seen how politics ages people.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not,
You look great with gray hair.
Shut up. Too young, okay?
It'd be silver hair.
By the age of, like, 30, yeah. Like, I'm fine.
She's a silver fox. She's 12. I don't know. what is she, 50? No.
She's 27. Yeah. No.
Just in 1 year, just full head of white hair. Oh, my.
We've seen how politics have aged Trudeau and Obama.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was, like, almost 8 years, Caitlin.
I know. It looks like it stretches, like, stresses you out and, like, too fast.
Mm-hmm.
You good?
I'm good. I'm gonna drink some water. My bad.
That's fine. But, yeah, I guess we'll see, like, where this goes, and, like, really just gonna, like, hope for the best.
I wish I had so much optimism. You want to share some of yours?
I want to share some of my optimism?
Yeah.
I will do my best to share that.
Just cut it up.
Yeah.
Cut it up. Share it.
I'll portion it.
Portion it out.
Yeah.
I'll just do a little bit. Just give me a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about?
Oh, man. What else did we have? We had other things. There was other things.
You're the one that keeps the agenda.
I know. So we were going to talk about, holding onto our identity within colonial spaces.
Oh, that's yes. Right.
That was supposed to be the whole theme of the prior prescribed episode that we never fulfilled.
Right, see.
But we can fulfill now.
Yeah, we can never do that. This is why Madeline's here. She writes down what we need to talk about, and I just say the words.
Yep. And go. Okay. So let's start with school. You had... Are we gonna name names or no? No? All right. So the post-secondary facility that you were learning from.
Yeah.
Pretty sure we've mentioned it earlier in episodes, but we're not gonna say it again now. You had a very hard time. What were some struggles that and challenges that you faced throughout your time at this institution?
Ooh.
Ooh, fun word.
Yeah. So in the program I was taking, it was very colonial because we were learning about justice, allegedly. And it was tough in the sense that they taught, like, Indigenous perspectives of law, like, as a separate class instead of, like, mainstreaming Indigenous content and knowledge keepers and, like, ways of being unknowing, like, throughout the entire program. And so it really felt like that, like, Indigenous ways of, like, justice and law were, like, really separate and, like, almost less than, because then the rest of the courses were all just like, the Canadian Constitution says. Oh, and you're like, yeah. Uh-huh. And then I just kind of felt like different classes and courses and just like really like almost made it out like Indigenous people were like an anomaly that needed to be studied. Pardon me, of like, why is there so many Indigenous people in the justice system, right? And it's like, well, if you actually paid attention, it's because it's like a further colonization through another institution, because either Indigenous people make up most of folks who are victims and survivors, or Indigenous people are mostly incarcerated. Right? So I'm like, instead of like actually, like, it felt like folks were just trying to like look at us as something that needed to be fixed or solved.
Yeah.
Rather than as like human beings, and looking at where like the root of that is, which is colonialism. So that was kind of hard to like articulate and translate to other learners and teachers. Not all teachers, but some of them had a hard time with that concept. And as an Indigenous learner, you're just like, why is that a difficult concept for you?
Yeah. It shouldn't be.
No, you've also been alive longer than me. Right. Like,
why am I teaching you right now?
Yeah. And I was like, for free? Like, I'm teaching you for free.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a tough one. But it's over. And I've met all the academic requirements.
Yay!
Of my degree.
She got a bachelor's now.
She does. She does.
Now she's getting her master's in...
Geography.
I almost did it again!
Why do you think I studied geology?
I don't know. I just think it's a fun word. Geology.
It is a fun word, but I'm not studying geography. Rocks.
She's studying...
Yes, I'm studying the lands.
I'm just going to say she's getting her master's in the lands.
That's fine. Yeah. What about you? Tell us.
So school prior wasn't terrible, mainly because like I was doing Indigenous-based programs.
Yeah.
The last program I was in college, there was some situations where I went, I don't know why we're approaching it this way, but for sure right now what I'm studying is interesting in the sense of Indigenous ways and being is like an add-on. It's not really like interwoven within it. It's just kind of like something being like, oh, when you're teaching Indigenous children, you have to use this kind of approach, and you're like, what? Why are you, like, separating? Like, all children can learn this way. It doesn't need to necessarily be just Indigenous children. So it's... And then not only that, but then the way that I have to write the paper... Like, I automatically identify myself as Indigenous while I'm writing this paper in the sense of being, like, that way they can't tell me what I'm saying is incorrect.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was like... I know all of this. Like, I understand the importance of culture and language but that's for everybody, though. Everyone needs to have their culture and their language embedded within what they're learning. And, like, learning from the land is important for everybody, not just Indigenous people. So it's just one of those things where it just feels weird sometimes the way that they approach it. Because one way when they're teaching it, certain aspects... it's literally the same, but then they have to make it separate in a sense where like they're like, it's important for children to learn from off the land and stuff like that, but then like Indigenous children need to learn off the land. You're like, okay, cool, but like you just said that children need to learn. Okay, yeah. So it's just one of those things where it's, I think they need to learn how to integrate it, and then not, they're not necessarily proper, like, they are, it's getting better. I think they have a lot more education, like, knowledge and know how to try to teach non-Indigenous teachers to understand, like, intergenerational trauma and the effects of, like, colonialism and the residential school system on Indigenous families and how that can affect the children. But then there's just certain ways that they've approached it where you're like, okay, cool, but, like, that's, you're making it seem like something that's, like, that they're inadequate of, like, teaching their own children in a certain mm-hmm. sense, and that, like, you have to approach things in a very delicate manner, and you're like, keep it. If you try to, like, be, not necessarily condescending, but if you try to approach in, like, a cautious way, I mean, people are going to read that and feel that, and then they're obviously going to take that as a negative.
Yeah.
And there's just not going to be a very good relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was one of those things that it was awkward of that the fact that, like, there's just, like, completely separate readings and things.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being, like, a natural flow of being, like, in indigenous cultures, they do this and stuff like that. This is an approach kind of thing, instead of it being, like, for indigenous children. You're like, what? Yeah. Why can't it be for everybody?
Yeah, and of course, like, there's some things that are, like, not for everybody, but, like, yes. Everybody benefits from living off the land. Yeah. Or not living off the... Yes, living off the land, but learning off of the land.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many studies that show that, like, actually children being outside or people just being outside, like, literally lowers your anxiety and your depression.
Yep.
Right? So, why are we segregating that?
Yeah.
It's a little strange. Yeah, again, it's, like, the similarities between our programs of it being treated as an anomaly.
Yeah.
Rather than just, like, being a human being.
Well, it was basically, like, our... If you can remember from our textbooks, our non-indigenous courses that we took.
Yeah.
For some reason, we were always the negative.
Yes.
So when there was things about, like, doing health, and then they go over, like, diabetes or health issues, it usually brought up about indigenous communities, which, yes, I do understand that there is some, there's health issues that are very prevalent within indigenous communities. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But why is that the only time we're brought up?
Yep.
Right? Like, yeah, I don't see us always being, like, but it's very rare that there's a highlight of what happens in indigenous communities.
Yes.
Necessarily, like, within interpersonal courses, I'm surprised there isn't more about, like, community building and, like, how successful that community stuff happens within those groups. But no,
it's always like all of us have diabetes, all of us are in jail
drinking drugs,
right? And it's like, come on, like, there's so much more to indigenous identity. And then also, like, why are you, like, continuing to teach, basically, it's all just stereotypes.
Yeah.
You're continuing to reinforce the stereotypes, mm-hmm. and also then that just, like, further marginalizes us and, like, allows folks to not treat us well.
Yeah. And then, not only that, but then that turns us into tokens usually within our
yes
classrooms.
Yes.
Because then there's not as many indigenous people attending post-secondary, right? So then there's very few of us, and so most of us, like the couple of us that tend to go, we get asked all the questions, right?
Yeah.
And then it's, somehow we have all the answers, and then occasionally it's going to be a thing where we're like, okay, but, like, that's not my culture, that's not where I'm from, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand, like, I'm also learning about that because mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with my culture. So, like, yeah, there's just, like, a pan-Indianism tends to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're like, we're not all the same, so you can't ask one of us and expect that we know the answer for everything.
Yep.
And then just the expectation that, like, we end up having to teach people more often than not. So it's finding that balance of making sure that we're able to, like, hold our identity and, like, immerse our culture into what we're doing, but at the same time not being forced to have to educate people, in the sense of people need to be looking to try to educate themselves instead of expecting us to constantly be doing it for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
School system. Yay.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's just, it can just be, like, a lot. And, again, though, like, I do have hope that there is really good teachers out there.
Yes.
Right? That definitely. Do really good work, and, like, they know how to educate their classrooms mm-hmm. in, like, a really, like, beautiful way, and that, students feel heard and safe and
yeah.
all those really good things. It's just, it's, always tough, though, to hear always all the negative things about our people.
Yes.
Because that's not fair to us or our people or our ancestors. Mm-mm. But, yeah. Go for it.
I think things are getting better in the sense of, like, teachers and things, just because there is more know now. Mm-hmm. Like, there's more coming into light. And so mm-hmm. people are making the effort to get educated. But I feel like that's happened within, like, the last decade.
Yes.
Right? Because when we first got into post-sec, there was still a lot of, like, lack. Like, there was still a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Nope.
No?
Nope. Ignorance is the word I was looking for. There was a lot of ignorance around Indigenous people and Indigenous issues. So then that's where a lot of the stereotypes, like, just kept stemming, especially within, like, our education system. But I find even just, like, within the last two, three years, it's really changed, and the approach is a lot different than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's a lot more know than there was back when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
Less work that we have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. In my one of my grad classes, I'm only taking two right now. One is just like an Indigenous seminar. And my teacher is the coolest. And we had, it's like a mix. So there's like undergrads and there's a couple of us that are grad students. It's like a co-teaching, co-learning yeah. model for like intergenerational learning and all that kind of good stuff. And so us grad students have to write papers first mm-hmm. and then host discussions with our undergrads and then whatever. So like this week's question was like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Right. And I obviously like thought of like, the story of why I'm here, like, in the program. I was like, oh, because like, I got hired to, like, do all this stuff.
You're like, co-op.
It's not a co-op.
Oh, okay. No. Apologies.
Thank you. I am a research assistant.
Yes, that's right.
And a special instructor. Not a co-op. And so I, like, obviously, like, I thought of that right away. And I was like, well, I'm here just because of, like, opportunity. And then I thought more about it because we had to do, like, these readings of other Indigenous academics.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, my goodness, I love all of this. And the reading we had to do, like, the lady was talking about, like, your research, as in berry picking. And then you take your berries and you turn it into jam or you turn it into pies or you turn it into syrup. And I thought that was, like, a really great analogy of, like, how your research can be used for so many different things. It means so many different things to different people. And then I went, like, wow, actually, like, this can be, like, really powerful. And I'm not just here for opportunity. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then I was, like, thinking more about it. And I was like, okay, like, what if you take this analogy one step further? And I was like, what if you, instead of berries, you pick a plant, right? And so you take the leaves, you dry them, you harvest them for tea, you make the tea. Okay. And then you drink the tea, and you're warm, and you're full, and, like, you have the energy to keep going, right? So then, like, thinking of that as my research, so then my research is actually medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I want my research to be medicine for people. Because also there's not a lot of, like, Inuk academics, right? And so that was just, like, writing in my reflection of, like, if there's one Inuk kid mm-hmm. out there that sees there's an actual Inuk academic out there yeah. that can feel seen, heard in the institution, or whatever, and knows that, like, our knowledge and our way of being, like, do belong in these spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an 8 out of 10 on my reflection.
Look at you.
Yeah. And so, like, I really liked that. And I was like, kind of want to make that, like, into, like, a visual. So, like, maybe making Jessica, like, do a thing for me.
She's going to hear from her from the podcast.
Yeah, I'd be like, hi, Jessica. I need you to make me a print. thank you. I'll do the dishes. Just, like, because I know, like, this is going to be, like, a lot of work to do this master's program on top of other things. Yep. And, like, as, like, a reminder of, like, why I'm here is
yes.
to actually make medicine,
mm-hmm.
not just be published.
Yes. Being published is great, but the benefit or the joy comes from people learning and yeah. consuming what you put out, just like our podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
At first it started out as being like, you want to make a podcast? And I went, I don't know. And then you know what? people actually enjoyed us talking, and I went, that's weird. And then we just kept making it, so.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a stark difference, though, from, like, my other grad seminar that was like, you publish or perish. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, I will literally cease to exist if I don't constantly publish in journals. I don't think that's true.
I love it. I love it. It's like, intense.
It was.
Publish or perish. Right. You're like, okay, all right. Damn.
I was like, what do they do? Do they take it away from me? Yeah. Like, no more. You don't publish.
You're done now. You're cut off. And you're like, okay, cool. Thanks. Stress me out anyways.
I'm like, or we just write and learn things because it brings us joy. And hopefully it brings other people joy too.
Great. The whole purpose of, like, trying to do something that you're passionate about is one that you enjoy it, and it gives you, it's your medicine. It nourishes your soul and your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the true thing that, like, is, like, the most blossoming is that if it helps nourish and feed someone else's spirit as well.
Exactly.
That's the beautiful part. Is something that makes you happy can also make somebody else happy. Right? We can do it together.
Right? I was like, if more people just, like, thought like that, yeah. I feel like we'd be in a better spot. And I feel like I say that every podcast. Every episode. I say, if someone just thinks differently.
You know what? Just do what makes you happy.
Right? And do what nourishes yourself that also nourishes others.
Eight. The whole purpose of us trying to do this is just to make, you know, help make a better place for everyone else.
Yeah.
Our whole thing was trying to make other people feel seen and heard.
Yeah.
We're weirdos who are obsessed with murder shows.
Yes.
And singing ABBA right now.
ABBA just really makes me feel really good right now. But we're not going to unpack that here.
You know, right? I'm just here to humanize you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But you know what we could do?
Mm.
That will nourish others.
Oh my god.
Is the... What are these called
again? No, let me start. We'll come, hold on. Okay. Let's bring some no to what's going to happen. All right. So I don't know if you guys remember, like, I don't know, it was like what, an episode, two episodes ago, we were trying to encourage people to donate to Videa's Global Solidarity Challenge. And donations of $50 could get you a haiku written by Caitlin and then read by Caitlin on the podcast. Now, I don't know how to break the news to you guys. But Caitlin might be a very well-written and spoken young lady, but when it comes to haikus, she does not have the talent. So Teacher Mads has written haikus for everybody that donated $50 to Caitlin.
She did.
So instead of, we usually do obviously our little bit where we read or tell a story or read some poetry. So instead we're going to read the haikus that we owe people. Also today's topic was brought to you by
Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy, for donating and picking out a topic for us to cover, even though it took us almost a month to do it.
Sorry, Tommy.
Thank you for your donations, though. Videa is a very great organization, and they do amazing things, and we're very happy to be a part of it, and we're very happy that other people wanted to make the organization flourish.
Yeah.
So here we go. Do you want to take turns? We can each read one.
Yeah, for sure. Because also, I don't know if I can read all of my writing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so many thank yous to everybody who donated. And also, if you're part of an organization that wants to link up with us for fundraising, let us know.
Let us know. We're really great at it.
Yes, teacher will write the haikus for you. Okay, I'll start, and I'll do the first two.
Okay, and then I'll do the last one?
You did the last two.
Oh, there's four?
Yeah, there's four.
How do I not remember writing four?
I don't know. We wrote them on the beach.
We did. It was very lovely. It was a lovely day.
It was. Well, you wrote them on the beach. I just told you who needed them.
No, I spoke them, and I told you to write it down.
All right, yeah. Me clapping on the beach.
Yeah, me being like, 1 second, one, two, three, four.
Okay, here we go. This will make her really happy. Okay. Sarah Danks on Team You Got Mail. really good at really good fundraiser. Big thanks, Sarah Danks. Madeline is a poet.
I am a poet, and I didn't know.
All right. Oh, this is to make him super happy, too. Ethan Scott Sylvie. Oh, my, what a guy he is. You are my best friend. That's true. He is one of my best friends, so this will make him very happy.
All right, we've got Paula Tate, Talitha's cool mom. She is she is totally awesome. She is Paula Tate.
And we love all of you guys, but the last one is kind of the best one.
Oh, that's right. Violet Joseph, keeper of the clams, private investigator, Violet Joseph.
Grandma Vi.
Shout out to Grandma Vi. Yeah, so those are our haikus. I feel like the rhythm was gone because it's been a while since we wrote them.
And also I'm not clapping.
Right, be like, hold on, 1, 2, it's 5, 7, 5. Yeah, so that's basically it. This is the longest I think we've gone in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to post more. I think we've got a rhythm down of our schedules for the most part. It might change in a bit. Who knows? We're living crazy.
Yeah, a little bit. But we hope that you enjoyed this episode and it wasn't too spirally for you. And I hope that you do something that nourishes you and nourishes others.
Yeah. And as always, if you have any thoughts or ideas or anything that you would like for us to chat about, we're also always looking for a great idea for a podcast episode where we can invite someone to come and chat.
Mm-hmm.
We still haven't gotten a guest on here yet. We're thinking about it. We're trying to figure out how that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But as always, please, please, please follow us on Instagram at @spillinglabtea_trees. We always post notifications typically about when we're planning on doing another podcast episode. So you guys can keep an ear out for that. And where can you find us, Caitlin?
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Podcasts, and really any streaming service.
We're everywhere.
Yes, we are.
We got a link tree in our Instagram bio, so basically you can find us and listen to us however and wherever you would like.
Yeah. See you later.
Namultas.